Hey guys, Eric Lindeen here. I'm the lead pastor of Mosaic Church in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and transforms you, and that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Amen. One more time, I'll try it. He is risen. Amen. Well, happy Easter. Good to see you all. My name is Eric, to be one of the pastors here. And yeah, we're just excited to celebrate Easter together this afternoon. People all across the world are gathering today throughout the whole day, right around the world, to celebrate this fact that he is risen. And that is good news, right?
Yes.
But why does that matter? What does that mean to us today? What does it even matter that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, that's what we want to dive into this evening. How are we doing, Brent? Should I grab the handheld, or are we going to be good, do you think?
We'll be good.
We'll be good? Okay. When I was in college, I was dating my wife, Kristen. Actually, she's in college, and I had just graduated from college. And she was an RA, and she was exhausted and tired many times going through classes and, you know, looking after all these girls on her floor at Northwestern College. And I had an apartment. I graduated from college. I was working at another church. And oftentimes we'd be on the phone late at night. You know, we're madly in love with each other. And then I could just tell by her voice that she needed a break, that she was tired. She needed something. And so, you know, sometimes at 11 o'clock at night, I would leave my comfortable apartment, you know, late at night in the middle of winter, go pick her up and take her to Perkins for some pancakes, because pancakes can solve any issues, right? And so just because I was in love, I would do that and go to her. Well, Jesus didn't leave his warm apartment. Jesus left his home in heaven to come down to earth, to live as human like one of us. And then he went to the cross for our sins, and then he rose again. But what does that matter? Why does that matter? Well, you look around at our world around us, and again, I'm going to remind everyone, we're in an election year, right? And I think our country, our cities, our neighborhoods, I think we could all nod our heads that we could all use a little bit of hope, right? We could all use a little bit of hope. My question for you, what are you hoping for? What is it that you are hoping for? I know plenty of people, they're hoping for something. They have some illness that they're hoping that this can get taken care of, that they can be healed. There's some hope that they have some relationship, maybe with a son, a parent, a friend, that this relationship can be restored and they can find some healing in that. I know some people are hoping for a miracle. Some people are hoping that their finances finally are going to turn around. I know some very people who are don't really know the truth, and they're hoping the Vikings are going to someday win a Super Bowl, right? I don't think it's ever going to happen, but this is what we're hoping for. Like, we all have something we're hoping for. But here's what I know, is that where there is hope, people thrive, amen? Where there's hope, people thrive, and where there's no hope, people just kind of pack it up and they give in. So tonight, what we want is for you to have a little bit more hope. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 23. We'll also have it up here on the screens. Luke 23, verse 50. Now, there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He was looking for the kingdom of God. So he's a ruling person. He had not consented to them killing Jesus. He said, this man went to Pilate, the governor, and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had yet been laid. It was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Here we are 2,000 years later, gathered together, not because someone died on the cross, because thousands of people died on the cross, not because someone gave some lectures and some good advice, not because someone started a new religion. We're here on Easter because a bunch of women went to the tomb on Sunday morning to re-embalm a body that they knew the men had done the work on, and they thought you probably had to do this again for them, right? And they showed up, and there was no body in the tomb. And again, nobody expected there to be no body. Nobody expected that morning there'd be no body. The women thought they were going to go show up, and Jesus' body was going to be there, and they'd re-embalm him. The disciples thought there'd be a body there. Pilate, the Romans, everyone thought there'd be somebody. No one is waiting outside the tomb, counting down. 3, 2, 1, he's alive. Nobody was expecting nobody. And yet, what happened? These people saw the risen Jesus, and they were willing to be put to death to say, yes, we have seen him. That is one of the reasons why I believe this is true. Because why would people die for a lie? They wouldn't. No one expected this. And a few days later, the same people who had hidden fear and wouldn't even go to Jesus' funeral went boldly into the same streets, knowing they could be arrested and killed. And here's what they said. They said, you killed Jesus. God raised him. We've seen him. So what are you going to do now? You killed him. God raised him. We've seen him. What are you going to do now? They weren't there because of what Jesus taught. They're there because Jesus died on the cross, and then he resurrected and rose again. That is why we're here 2,000 years later. They saw a resurrected Savior. They saw their beloved Jesus raised to life. And see, the good news of Easter is that the worst thing is never the last thing. See, on Friday, all their hopes were dashed. They were hoping for a political savior, someone who would come in and kick out the Romans, and they put all their hopes in him, and on Friday, all their hopes died, and that was the worst moment of their life. Some of you have experienced the worst moment of your life in this last year. News that you could not expect to hear. Loss of a parent. Loss of a loved one. A diagnosis. But see, the beautiful message of Easter is that the worst thing is never the last thing. Amen? Easter proves that Christmas was real. That Jesus, this Emmanuel, Savior, Son of God, he really is God. Well, later that morning, a couple of followers of Jesus were walking down a road towards a city called Emmaus, and it was about a 7-mile journey. And as they were walking, Jesus all of a sudden shows up next to them. And he says, why are you so downcast? Why are you so bummed? Because they hadn't heard the good news yet. And he said, well, we had hoped Jesus was the Messiah, the one that we had been looking forward to. We had our hopes in him. Our hopes were dashed and crushed. And then Jesus walks with them for 7 miles and explains all the things that, no. This Savior had to die. Then he acted like he was going to go on. They invite him in for a meal. What does Jesus do? He pulls out his hands. He takes the bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. He gives it. In that moment, they realize who he is, that he's Jesus, and he disappears. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? This truly was Jesus. He is alive. And they ran 7 miles back to tell the other disciples, we have seen him too. And over the next 40 days, over 500 people saw him. and believed in him. That is why I believe this happened. See, all their hopes were dashed on Friday. But then Sunday gave birth to new hope. And hope is extremely powerful. I think we could all use some more hope, amen? Just a couple things. If you want to write these down, you can. But number one, what does hope do? Number one, hope provides healing from our past. Hope provides healing from our past. The Apostle Paul writes this way in Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope says the worst thing is never the last thing. Hope says you can find healing from your shame, from the things that you've done, from the things that have been done to you. Maybe you've experienced significant hurt in your life due to people making bad decisions. My heart breaks for some of you because of what you've been through. We could all use some healing from our past. But what I know is oftentimes, and sometimes we bring pain on our own lives. We've all done stupid things. And we all have this ledger. We all have a list of wrongdoing. If you took started a list of all the bad things I've done, I mean, it would go out the door and down the street and over, you know, through 94, right? But what does Jesus do? He takes that list of all the bad things I've done. He says, no. It's all gone. It's wiped away. That's like you wake up one morning and your mortgage has been paid off and your car payments and your credit card, everything, all your debt's been wiped away and instead has been deposited $10 million into your bank account. It's like that is a good exchange, right? That is what Jesus gives to us. He says, your shame, your guilt, your past, all those things, give them to me. I've wiped away that ledger, and instead I've given you my righteousness. Hope is what allows us not to be defined by our past, but by the future God has for us. Hope allows us to experience healing. Hope is what allows us a break from addiction, disappointment, and discouragement. That whatever it is you're going through, this is not the end. Number two, hope allows us to overcome our current circumstances. Hope allows us to overcome our current circumstances. Hebrews 6:19 says it this way, this hope that we have in Jesus is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Some of you are facing some daunting circumstances. Some of you have some sobering realities when it comes to your marriage, your finances, parenting, or employment. And circumstances can lead us quickly into discouragement where you feel hopeless. But here's what hope says. Keep going because it's not over yet. Keep investing in your marriage. It's not over yet. Keep working on your finances. It's not over yet. Keep loving those kids of yours. It's not over yet. Keep showing up to work on time, working hard. It's not over yet. If you're not dead, God's not done. Amen? This is not the end of the story. Hope gives you strength to overcome your current circumstances. How are Christians able to withstand the pressures of the world and go through the worst of the worst? Because we have hope in Jesus. It's a strong anchor for our souls. It gives us something to rest on when all the rest of the world seems out of control. We put our hope in Jesus. Number three, hope gives us a possibility for a better future. Hope gives us a possibility for a better future. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we overflow with hope? It's not in our own strength. It's not just by trying hard. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. We put our trust in Jesus, our risen Savior. What does he give to us? He gives us the Holy Spirit. What's better than Jesus walking beside those disciples on the way to Emmaus? It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. It gives us this hope and joy and peace. See, hope is the activator to chasing after a preferred future. Hope allows us to dream, to know God is with us, God is for us. Psalm 131, verse 24 says, to be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. When we put our hope in the Lord, we can be strong. We can take heart. We can endure the world around us. We can have healing from our past. We can overcome our current circumstances. We can look forward to our future hope. Isaiah 40, 30 through 31, one of my favorite verses says this, "Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." How do you soar like an eagle? How do you walk and not grow weary? It's to hope in the Lord. It's not to put your hope and trust in yourself or anything else other than the risen Jesus. Hope moves us to dream about the future. Hope gives us a possibility for the future and helps us to believe that things can be different. Those relationships can change. Your relationship with your parents or your kids or your sibling. Your finances can change. That disease can change. Hope is a big reason why we started this church. To give people some hope, some encouragement. Hey, you're going through infertility. You will have a baby. Hey, you're not married. You will meet a spouse. Hey, you are grieving. You are hurting. But there's a community here who loves you. And the only way you can do that is if you have a hope that's an anchor for your soul. Hope allows us to dream. It's what gets us excited about life. We can look at tomorrow differently because of Jesus. Hope comes alive when we stay true to Jesus. In your marriage, you can have hope when you have Jesus. Hope comes from knowing Jesus, though. See, true hope comes from being cleansed from your sins, of exchanging that list of all the wrong things you've done and the list of all the good things you should have done and didn't do, and exchanging that to Jesus and getting his perfection instead. Hope gets expressed when we love and serve others. Hope is lived out when you live with an eternal confidence that you know you are going to spend eternity with Jesus, your risen Savior. Hope gives us healing from our past. Hope allows us to overcome our current circumstances and the things we're facing and a possibility for a better future. Here's what I know about everyone in this room. We're all gonna die. So encouraging on Easter, right? Like, it doesn't matter whether or not you had the donut or not. No matter how much kale you had today or kombucha, or you live gluten-free and dairy-free and all these things, right? You can do all the things. You can have apple cider vinegar and chia seeds and all the things. You're still gonna die, all right? The mortality rate is still 100%. You are gonna die. That's my encouraging word today. But do you have hope and know what's gonna happen after that moment? See, Jesus wants to give you a living hope. What does that mean? 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We are all going to die. At some moment, we will step from this place into an eternity. For those of us who put our trust in Jesus, who stepped through death's door, he conquered death, and then he rose again, we say, I have hope and confidence that when I step through eternity, when I pass through death, I'm gonna be with Jesus. I'm gonna be with my loved ones who love Jesus. I can have a confidence in that. Not in what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done. That Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross. My son was like, "Why do you have a Lego set, Dad?" My wife doesn't even know I bought this week, so here it is. Yeah. I saw that this week on Facebook Marketplace, and I love Lego. Lego is something that like I grew up with. Yes, we have a few other Lego fans in the house, a lot growing up. In particular, the pirate theme is one of my favorite themes. Growing up, I would play Lego with my friends, and I had castles and pirate ships, and we would do a lot of this together. And one of my friends was my buddy Josh. Josh is my neighbor. And we played pirates all the time. When we were 11, Josh got diagnosed with cancer. And when he got diagnosed, his parents bought him this Lego set. And I'd go over there, help him build it, and play with it. And I'd ask, you know, is his white blood count high enough? Can I come over? And I remember when he lost all his hair, and we made jokes about him looking like a Ninja Turtle, because we used to watch that together. And as an 11, 12-year-old fighting cancer, there's a lot of uncertainties. But do you know what? Josh had a living hope. Josh grew up going to church in this building. And somewhere in this building, either here or there or in the nursery, I don't know, Josh put his hope and trust in Jesus. And as an 11, 12-year-old boy, watching my son, right, my best friend go through the worst of the worst, and his parents, but do you know what? He had hope that he would be with Jesus. His parents had hope they will see him again. And that marked my life as a 12-year-old. And I always loved this Lego set. And when I saw it on Facebook Marketplace this week, I was like, I have to buy it. So I did. And I'm going to put it together. And I'm going to think of Josh. But you know what? That was the worst of the worst of the worst for his parents. That was the darkest thing that could possibly happen. And they had hope. They still have hope. One day they'll see Josh. See, those of us who put our hope and trust in Jesus, we know we will face death, but we know we can have confidence. We're gonna step through eternity. We're gonna see Jesus. And I'm gonna get to give Josh a hug. And all those we've lost. Some of you have lost dear loved ones in the last year. And I grieve for you. And it's not a light thing. But we can have hope that we will see them again. That Easter means the worst thing is not the last thing. This is not the end of the story. We can be with Jesus. We can be with our loved ones again. Do you have that kind of hope in your life? Do you know when you transition from this life to the next, you will be with Jesus? And if your answer is, I hope so, I want you to know that you can know the answer to that question. You can have certainty. My faith and trust is in Jesus. My hope isn't in me. It's in my Savior who died and rose again. And all his disciples saw him. They died for that knowledge. It's a trustworthy story. And you can know, yes, I can have a living hope as well. I'm going to invite the band up, and we're going to transition to response time. I'm not going to do some kind of big, like, emotional response, but what I want you to do is, as the band plays this next song, is just examine yourself. And just ask yourself, do you know that you know that you know that your hope is in Jesus? And that when you pass someday from death into the next life, that you will be with Jesus? If not, you can make that decision today to put your hope in Jesus. Maybe things have seemed really dark lately. And you're just looking for some hope to overcome your past, your present circumstances, or just the future seems bleak. I want to encourage you to reach out to Jesus. Let it be an anchor for your soul. Let him fill you with your Holy Spirit. I want you to leave here with your hopes up. Not in anything that you've done, nothing that we've done to deserve this, but simply because of Jesus, our good, beautiful, perfect Savior. I'm going to pray. The band's going to play this song. Then I'll come back up, wrap us up, and then we'll do one closing song, and then Easter egg hunt. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you left your home in heaven. You came to earth. You pointed us towards your kingdom, and you gave us some great commandments and instructions on how to live your way. But most important of all, you went to the cross. You died in our place. And then you rose again, conquering death and sin and despair and darkness. And because of that, we can have a living hope through you. So God, I pray, if there are those in this room who don't know that they know that they know what would happen when they pass from death into the next life, God, that they would choose in this moment to put their trust in you. And Jesus, you tell us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our heart, we will be saved. So I pray for those right now who maybe their mind is racing, their pulse is pounding. God, that you give them the courage to put their trust in you, not in anything else. And God, I want to pray for those who have been struggling to find hope and healing from their past. That your Holy Spirit would just begin to heal, and that we would know that you are with us in the pain. I want to pray for those who are in some just tough current circumstances and feel like they have no hope and they don't know how they're gonna pay this bill or how they're gonna reconcile with their spouse or their kids or their parents or whatever it might be. Kids in the room who are being bullied, who don't know how they're gonna pass their tests, whatever it might be, God, you would give hope to those of us who are just needing some hope right here, right now, today. God, that we would have hope for our future. That we would love you, that we'd live for you, that as we live from a changed heart and mind, God, that we would be your hands and feet, that we would show the world your love, and we'd point others to hope, and God, that we'd just be agents of hope. Thank you, God, that through Easter we know the worst thing is never the last thing, and there's always life and hope to come. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing this song together as we reflect.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Mosaic Maple Grove podcast. I want to encourage you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your soul. Let Jesus do the deep work that only He can do. A special thank you to everyone who gives to Mosaic Maple Grove. Your generosity allows this message to go out into the world. You can be a part of the Mosaic Tribe by going to mymosaicchurch.com. You can also subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends and family. Thanks again for listening. Grace and peace, my friends.